Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
The show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. We're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Ben Lee, intern Parker is getting the Periscope fired up. If you want to watch along, no Cody McClure today. Got a text like 15 minutes ago that just says, not going to make it. I'm hurting. Don't know what that means. I don't know if it's from Game of Thrones or something happened to the big guy, so I guess we'll check on him. I'll update you when I hear. So just us today. Hope you had a good weekend. How are you this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Good weekend. Good fun weekend. On Friday, met a lot of fans of the station, of the show at Rhythm and Blooms. That was fun. Knoxville put on a hell of a show on Friday. That was a really good performance by them. Met a lot of people. Shout out to everyone who came up and said hi. Friday was a lot of fun. Then Saturday I got to go see John Wick 3. Also fun. Also great. And then yesterday just a lot of preparation. Great basketball game. A double overtime game as the Raptors get back in the series. Brooks Koepka held on. He had such a lead he could just kind of go out there and just get through his 18 holes and win another major. And then the Game of Thrones finale. But for me, the weekend was really won by Deontay Wilder. I think we all have a soft spot for boxing. Either through, having it passed down from our parents or just realizing how special it used to be. I mean, you look at someone like Muhammad Ali, like they could do 50 documentaries about him, 50 specials about him. They're all going to be good. They're all going to be entertaining. And it just makes boxing seem so big. Then, of course, you know, if you're my age, you grew up at the tail end of the Mike Tyson craze, where Mike Tyson was, you know, probably the second most famous athlete for the entire 1990s, right? If you look, Mike Tyson was probably the second biggest athlete in the world for the decade of the 90s behind Michael Jordan, of course. And then, you know, Floyd Mayweather has kind of done his thing the last 15 years or so, although no one's ever actually embraced him because he's more of a technical boxer, right? I mean, he sells his fights not through style but through running his mouth. And even then, it didn't feel as cool because they weren't heavyweights, right? Ali, Tyson, those were heavyweights I was talking about. So now you have three guys who are really entertaining. Three big heavyweights that we want to see fight. So far, we haven't really gotten a chance to see them go at it. But one of them, the American, Deontay Wilder, and I know he's a bammer. But in boxing, he is an American. I think that's more important. He made a lot of headlines last week for basically saying he was going to kill someone. I don't know if you've heard the clip. He basically said, hey, in boxing, it's legal to kill someone. That's what I'm going to try to do. And everyone's like, wait a second. I don't know if you could say that. And as you hear here in his voice, he was giving you a warning of what was going to happen on Saturday night and how, you know, how he was approaching this fight.
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't kill him. He seeked me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does in a way. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
Like, on one hand, boxing didn't appreciate that, right? On one hand, boxing was like, well, we don't really want one of our fighters saying he's going to try to kill someone. But at the same time, it made a headline for a fight that, you know, didn't really have much juice. But then you hear Deontay Wilder saying that stuff, and you're like, well, you know, he's got some good points. Like, no, the head is not meant to be hit. Doctors will tell you that. Yeah, true. Not really good for the long-term health of the sport, but it's the same thing I've said with football for a while, right? There are always going to be broke people looking for a way out. I mean, that's pretty much the only people boxing these days are poor people who need to make a lot of money. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't think anyone's growing up from a family of wealth or a family of even good economic standing and saying, you know what I want to do? I want to be a boxer. That's not really happening. I think that's why you don't see very many Americans that are good at boxing anymore. I think that's why you see Manny Pacquiao rise from the gutter of Philippines to become really good. You know, Floyd Mayweather had it, you know, bred into him from his dad. But, you know, he's in his 40s at the end of his career. The long-term health of the sport is probably not good, but it'll always be around because, like I said, there will always be enough desperate people looking for a big payday. So then you get Deontay Wilder coming out saying, yeah, the sport's not good. Head injuries, probably not good. You're not going to like this. Not healthy, but I get to try to kill someone. Boxing was like, well, you can't really say that, but it got our attention. And then on Saturday night, one of the more gif-able sports amazing moments in history happen as Deontay Wilder did just that.
For having the character to throw with him and oh.
Whenever you get Mario Ronaldo having to scream out, Mamma Mia! He hit him so hard they felt it in Brazil. Yeah, that's a pretty good indication of what happened. One more time, Ben, just the very beginning. Turn the volume up. I want to hear the thud when you hear this right hand connect to the jaw.
For having the character to throw with him.
You can hear the thud. You can hear the thud. Boop. And he went down. And, you know, it was, I want to say, the most exciting thing from the weekend. Boxing was still able to create that jaw-dropping and jaw-shattering moment. There are three big heavyweights that people, I think, will want to kind of gravitate back towards because I do think that people want to have big boxing. The nostalgia of it always brings you in. And the heavyweights, those guys could actually kill each other, as Deontay Wilder told you and then showed you. The Preakness was this weekend, right? Horse racing? That's another thing with nostalgia, but I didn't care. I didn't even see anything about it. The only story I saw from horse racing this weekend was that the Kentucky Derby owner, or the owner of the horse that was disqualified from the Kentucky Derby, Maximum Security, he's like, yeah, get you five horses. Let's race for $5 million apiece. I'll put up my own money. Let's go. Like, basically, you want to talk about my horse being disqualified? You want to do this and this and this? Whatever. Let's have a high-stakes race. I got the best horse in the world. Let's race. He went like full, I don't want to say pink slips, because he didn't offer to race for his horse, right? He didn't go full Vin Diesel, Fast and the Furious. He didn't say, hey, put up your pink slips. But he said, hey, let's get on our horses. Let's race for $5 million. That was the only horse racing story I cared about from the weekend. So, like, nostalgia didn't get us back to the Preakness, but big fights and the potential to see big knockouts will always get us back to boxing. Our friend Tyler tweets in saying that the losers of the weekend are those of us that paid $60 for the fight. Undercard was trash, and you paid $60 for 2 minutes of boxing. I never know how to address that, because I feel like if I pay $60, I kind of want to see a big knockout. Like, I know that it happened, you know, a minute into the fight, but or 2 minutes into the fight, but I feel like you got your money's worth with that knockout. Now, granted, I got the same thing for free on the internet, so I understand the pain there. I understand, like, you, like, hey, I paid $60. I bought the cow. They gave it to the internet for free. But you would think boxing, I mean, I don't know, like, maybe boxing is looking at these videos going around the internet like, yeah, probably is it going to make more people buy fights, but maybe this raises the interest of the sport, because it was a, like I said, a perfect gif-able moment. You could see that in a 5-second clip and realize what happened and say, wow, what a punch. Boxing, the big winner of the weekend for me, Deontay Wilder, that knockout. After telling him he was going to try to murder a man last week, he then turned around and tried to murder that man. We'll see if we get any of the big three coming together to fight. That's the problem with boxing, is there are so many promoters and so many people that want to be the boss. It's hard to get big, high-profile fighters because they all think they're the star. We'll see what happens. Game of Thrones last night. Finale, it's finally over. Talk about it next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. After the finale of Game of Thrones, I'd have been much more interested in talking about boxing. I don't have much to talk about when it comes to actual Game of Thrones. Anticipated talking it with Cody, but...
You can just enlighten me.
No, I don't feel like going through it. I mean, it was a very bad finale. It capped a very bad season 8. Season 7, I told you all off-season, I guess, that season 7 wasn't very good either. A lot of people argued about it, and then I think they have come to realize that the show has been bad for a while. Like, it wasn't very good. It was bad. It was sad. It was disappointing.
I was stunned to see you come in with your Arya shirt still.
Well, I mean, I paid $30 for this shirt, so I was going to
So you're
going to
get
it.
Your money out.
Yeah, I'm going to still wear it. Like, I'm not mad at her. She's still cool, I guess.
Do you like the way they ended her character?
Not really. They basically, she is going to become Christopher Columbus, apparently. That was her big moment, was she was going to...
sail west.
She said, yeah, what's west of Westeros? No one knows. I'm going to go find out. And then she is going to go... She was on a boat, smiling in the open water, which I don't really understand. Her lover, Gendry, as Parker points out, was at the council and they didn't speak. So I guess they're on bad terms, like... Not even a head nod, like, hey, how you been? It was just a, we're not going to communicate. It was a very bad finale. Like, to me, the show has been knocked to tier 2.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it no longer belongs on the pantheon of the great.
Greatest show of all time.
It was in the running. It had a chance to be the greatest show of all time, and to me, it's now tier 2. Like, the rewatchability of the show is completely ruined for me. I will never want to go back and watch it because I know what's coming. And I'm not going to like what's coming, and it's too much time to invest. I'll never rewatch the show again. And if I do, I'll stop at the end of season 6.
Now I've been planning on waiting until all the seasons are done. And then I was just going to crank through them and binge them, like, this summer or something.
Yeah.
But as I've heard you and Cody just... watch this thing fall into a pit of despair.
Well, Cody still seemed happy last night. He said it was a good finale. So did Russell. And I was prepared to tell Cody, and I guess I'll tell Russell if he's listening, that I never want to hear them make fun of the Vol for Life Facebook people again. I never want to hear them mock the Eternal Optimist football fans who were fine with 5-7 last year, who praised 8-4. They are those people.
just for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I never want to hear them mock the Vol for Life Facebook group or the Eternal Optimist when it comes to Tennessee athletics.
As they're on the internet just, meh.
As they're doing the same thing, right. Like, you know, I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind. If you liked the finale, if you liked the season, I don't want to steal your joy. Enjoy it. Don't let my opinion sway you. Don't make me make you dislike it. Just know that I think of you in that same light as the eternal football optimist, too, that got really pumped for 5-7 last year and are sitting there thinking, well, you know, this year if the schedule goes right and we make a couple plays, we could be 9-3. And they'll say that all offseason. And then if Tennessee goes 6-6, be like, yeah, that's about what I expected. What more did you expect, right? It's always the same fans who look at the schedule before the kickoff and start talking themselves into two or three extra wins. You know, if things break right, I mean, Georgia seems to be kind of falling apart. Florida, I mean, they've had a lot of struggles. I see no reason we can't go 9-3, or hell, maybe we could spring an upset and go 10-2, and then they'll look at you at 6-6 and say, "What are you upset about? Why are you mad? This is what this team was supposed to do. They're right on schedule." It's always the same people. So, I mean, there are a group of Game of Thrones fans out there who were happy with what happened, and that's fine. I want people to be happy. Be happy. I'm not happy. There's a lot of plot holes I have questions about. They did a weird time jump. They fast-forwarded the plot, the timeline. That's the first time they've done that. They waited till the last 30 minutes of the show to fast-forward, like, I guess, 2 months, 3 months, maybe a week or two. I don't know. They didn't tell us.
It didn't give you a specified, just
no.
Like, sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, yeah, you didn't even know it was a future until you realized, well, all these people, there's no way they could be there that quickly. And then they showed Jon Snow, who, spoiler alert, was being held captive. And he had grown like a real scraggly beard, which I don't know how long it takes him to grow a beard.
Probably at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, like a week or two, which is even a weirder time jump. Like, I mean, just to jump a couple weeks without saying anything. But that was they all of a sudden dropped a time jump on us. Had really cringy dialogue for the last 20 minutes of the show. And then I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, even in this episode, even in the finale last night, you had Grey Worm, which is Daenerys' right-hand man, right? He's leader of the Unsullied, Ben. He's the leader of an army. And, you know, in that episode, they have him slitting the throat of, like, what, 5-6 Lannister soldiers who are like, we do not stand for treason. They fought against the queen. We are going to, you know, murder them, assassinate them, or whatever. Not assassinate. Yeah, I mean, I guess assassinate. Take them out.
Yeah.
For treason. And then you have two other guys, Tyrion and Jon Snow, who commit treason against the queen, yet somehow he literally stabs her in the stomach and kills her, yet they are given like 2-3 weeks in the hole, basically, like not just immediately killed right there, as they just showed you like 10 minutes before.
We kill treasoners.
Right, like they made a huge point of like, no, we do not stand against people disrespecting our queen, basically.
Yeah.
Except if you kill her, then we'll give you 3 weeks in the hole and we'll decide what to do with you. Like, that, a real problem with that, like, had a huge problem with that. The Unsullied and the Dothraki, like, those were the big warriors, right? That was her big group of soldiers. And we got the op-ed pieces after episode 3 from, like, Yahoo about how people of color had been disrespected and wiped out of the show, and how the white people were left standing, and the people of color, which were the Dothraki and the Unsullied, had all been wiped out. Yet in this episode, there were like 5,000 of them. Like, they had multiplied.
Just pop back up.
They're more now than ever before.
I also saw that there apparently was a plastic water bottle left on set again.
They did that again, which, I mean, to me, like, I said it during the Starbucks episode, that you can't have more of a middle finger to your fans than, like, we don't care enough to take this plastic cup.
To just do one final sweep across the set. Are we cool? Are we good?
Like, the actor knows it's there, or he should, unless
he's
just
to cover it up with his boot.
Unless he's just there to, you know, cash checks. Like, we care so little about this art project that people have, dedicated not only a decade of their lives, but the books came out like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
We care so little about them that, yeah, we're good. We're just going to have another plastic water bottle sitting here out in the open during the climactic scene of the show, where we find out who's going to rule.
I will say it was fairly hidden behind the guy's legs.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you have
But it was there.
But it was there.
It was there.
But you have to seek it out.
That makes it even worse that he's like, yeah, it's right here. I'm just going to slide my foot here. I'm not going to move it. I'm not going to walk five steps and throw it to the side. I'm just going to cover it up with my foot. Nah, nobody will see it. Like, that's just lazy. Really, really lazy. And I'm like, come on, you are trying to put a bow on, you know, a show that many people had said, even before they saw the ending, this is the greatest TV show of all time. And then they limp to the finish line. Bad. Just gagged up all over themselves. And like I said, now, tier two. Like, Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad should be popping champagne like the 72 Dolphins today. Like, we still got it, boys. We're still a trio.
I just can't seem to fathom, like, why even the actors were just like, yeah, this is fine. Like,
you mean, like, with the plot or the plastic bottle?
Maybe, like all of it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like after you've dedicated so much time to something and you've been, like, building it up, working on it, you kind of have, like, you set a standard in your head that we need to keep this standard. Like, especially if I'm, like, one of the actors on the show, like, this stuff revolves around what I do. Like, I need you guys to bring it up as well.
Well, that's a fair question. That kind of goes back to just being like a soldier, right? Like, you're not the boss. Like, you kind of have to take direction. Like, you have to listen to management type of thing. Now, maybe if all of them would have banded together, be like, come on, guys. Like, what the hell are we doing here? Maybe they could have made a change. But otherwise, like, I feel like you just kind of got to do what your bosses say. Because, I mean, if you saw the press tours that all the actors did, they all, like, openly acknowledged, no, this season sucks.
Yeah.
We are miserable. We realize what's about to come our way in terms of everyone being very angry with us. Like, everyone's going to hate this. They hate it. Like, there are plenty of stories of the actors talking about how they had to, like, walk out of the room when they read the script to, like, compose themselves. Brienne of Tarth was basically like, when I saw what they did to my character, I had to get out of the room. I had to walk away.
Wow.
And, like, go compose myself because I was so angry and disappointed with what they did with my character. So, like, no, there were people there who knew this was going to be bad, yet they were just like, eh, full speed ahead, I guess. Let's just knock out these six episodes and move on.
Let's just finish it.
Let's just cash this check. Let's just ride off into the sunset and cash this check.
Some good NBA last night.
Yeah, it was some really good NBA last night. I was mad that I turned the channel. Like, I DVR'd it. Yeah. I did a good job. I mean, it worked out perfectly. I believe it was last Sunday that the Kawhi shot happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which feels like a year ago.
Yeah.
But it was the Kawhi shot last Sunday, and it was a really good double overtime game this Sunday that I bailed on early to DVR and watch Game of Thrones, avoid spoilers, and then go back and rewatch at the end of the night. Actually, last night I added in Money in the Bank, the ladder match for WWE. They had a big Money in the Bank event, so I actually watched the main event of it before even going back to watch the NBA. And spoiler alert, Brock Lesnar, came back and won the briefcase, which, well, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, you seem disappointed about the ending of that as well.
I mean, I don't know how disappointed I am. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, Brock Lesnar, I guess, is someone who people care about and they need ratings, so.
Just based off your tweet when you're like, and that's how they end Money with the Bank too?
Yeah.
It felt like, oh man, John's just taking hit after hit tonight.
It wasn't, I mean, if anybody was looking to see who was going to be the surprise entrant and win, like, I don't think anyone wanted Brock Lesnar. Although he did look good, like, he did look like he had got back on the HGH in preparation for his UFC return that he actually, was like, nah, I'm good. I don't actually want to get hit in the face again. I'd rather just make $7, $8 million from WWE to do nothing, to, like, work 3 months out of the year. But he looked in good shape.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about WWE much, but, I mean, they're in trouble right now. Fox has pretty much told them, hey, you're supposed to launch in October. We need you to be getting 3 million viewers per episode, and right now you're, like, at 2.1. So you have to, like, improve the product drastically, or else, like, the contract's going to get voided. So now, like, Vince is scrambling and trying to figure out how to get more eyes on it. So Brock Lesnar's a big draw. So I guess they ponied up, and he's like, "Yeah, never mind. I won't go do UFC. I will be more involved with WWE." So,
that other wrestling league might actually
it's got a chance. I mean, it's got a lot of wrestling fans very interested and into it. So yeah, like that All Elite that's going to be on TNT could be a actual competitor. And like I said, the WWE interest is at an all-time low right now, so they're scrambling. So yeah, it was a couple of hits after hits for me last night. But then I went back and I DVR'd the fourth quarter of the Raptors game and the two overtimes and was very, very entertained. That was a hell of a game. I'll open the phone lines up if anyone wants to talk Game of Thrones before we move on. I kind of gave you my spill on it. If anyone wants to voice their frustrations. Everyone I talked to last night, or 95% of the people I encountered last night, were angry.
It's just your echo chamber.
It was 95% of people that were just like, really? 10 years for this? And like I said, there are probably a lot of people out there who are like 23 years in.
Yeah.
To this, waiting on the ending of the story, and we're fed that. So if anyone wants to voice their frustrations, I will open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200. That's 865-546-8200. If anyone wants to weigh in. If not, we will start talking a little bit about the NBA, including Grant Williams. Not a great combine performance in terms of how he played. And I don't know how much that's going to weigh into it. We'll talk about it. Segue, this is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Kitty Radio, come say it to our face, you Yankee bastard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, we've opened up the phone lines. If anyone wants to talk Thrones for the next little bit, let people voice their frustrations or tell me that I'm overreacting. 865-546-8200. Let's grab DR Vol. What's up, DR?
Hey, John. How's it going, man?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think you're overreacting because you said what I said last night. I was really wanting to rewatch Thrones because, you know, I kind of binge-watched it to get through it to catch up. And after the ending, I care nothing about rewatching it. It's like Lost. I love Lost, but I won't rewatch it because the ending was so crap.
I didn't watch Lost, but I have zero intentions of watching it because I know everyone hates the ending. Like, I know some people were split on the Sopranos ending. I personally thought it was good. I personally enjoyed the Sopranos ending and its finale. Now, granted, to be consistent, I was a binge watcher. I wasn't someone who invested 7-8 years into that. So if people were upset on it, I understand. I personally liked the Sopranos ending, even though I knew it going into it. With Lost, I'm like you. I'm like, nah, I have zero interest in watching that. No thanks.
Yeah, see, in Sopranos, I've thought about watching that just because I've been paying for this HBO, but I've heard the ending suck. And, you know, last night was a careful what you wish for because I kept saying I didn't want Jon Snow to get the throne because it's too obvious. But I sure as hell didn't want Bran to get the throne either.
Yeah, I don't think anyone at any point during the show, during the entire 8-year run, I don't think anyone's like, you know who I think should be king? Bran.
Yeah, such a freaking waste. And I don't get the Jon Snow ending. You're going to send them back to watch what? Because I know they made a point to say there's always going to be a place for broken people and bastards, but they're not watching anything. I was pissed about that.
Well, I took that as a happy ending for Jon Snow. He was back with his boy. He was back with his dog, and they were just, you know, leaving the wall, going to the true north, where they could live out on the, you know, live out on the land with no real threat. So I took that as kind of a Grey Worm's an idiot. He doesn't realize this isn't a punishment type of thing.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. And the last thing I'll comment on is Tormund. They just kind of wasted him. He didn't even have a line in the episode that I remember.
Well, after hearing the way they did Bronn at the council, or at the, I guess the king's meeting or whatever, when Tyrion was leading it at the end, after Bronn just made cheesy joke after cheesy joke, I was glad they didn't make Tormund talk because he would have said something very cringy.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But, yeah, I don't think you're overreacting, John. I'm with you on this. It really knocked it down. It's going to leave probably Sons of Anarchy one of my favorites, even though I didn't like the ending of that either.
Appreciate the phone call, DR.
Thanks, John.
865-546-8200 if anyone else wants to weigh in. We had a call that we couldn't get connected with. Ah, man. As Volstorm tweets in, are the same people Game of Thrones going to leave coffee cups on set for the new Star Wars trilogy? Yeah, like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you have to be freaking out right now, right? Because, I mean, the guys who wrote and adapted season 7 and 8 are coming to do your Star Wars new trilogy. I can't think that anyone's excited about that prospect right now. And if they are in position to make that fan base mad too, they're going to have a lot of nerds coming at them. I'm not joking. Like, I do feel like the pressure. Like, I would imagine if you are an artist, right? If you are in arts anyway. Like, here what we do is somewhat of an art form. Somewhat. We're in the entertainment business. We put ourselves out there a little bit.
I mean, the degree is an arts degree. Communications.
Sure. So I mean, like,
anything about it.
I don't want to call us artists, but I mean, this is somewhat of an art form. Writing and directing is a similar type of art form. If you are putting out your art to the world and everyone's just blatantly rejecting it and like, nope, don't want it. Nope, you're an idiot. Wow, you ruined my life. Like, there are people who are going to start having I saw something about counseling. Like, there's going to be therapists who are well-versed in Game of Thrones. That way they could deal with people's disappointment for wasting. I mean, let's just say you live 60 years. You wasted 15% of your life on this thing. I, for one, am happy it's over. I was very relieved. Like, last night, the show was coming on, and my queen asked me. She said, are you excited? And I was just like, no. I'm more just curious to see how it ends, and I'm just kind of relieved it's going to be over. I'm tired of worrying about it and thinking throughout my weeks, like, how are they going to wrap this up? Poorly. That's how they wrapped it up. Poorly. With Bran, the wheelchair boy, getting on the throne. Despite never fighting. I think he was missed a whole season. But despite, you know, pretty much
having ambition for the throne.
Yeah, you know, he flat out said, I don't want it. I don't want anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're like, I nominate Bran. I'm like, yeah, why do you think I rolled all the way over here? That's what he said. He's like, why do you think I'm here? I thought you didn't want it. Then like, yeah, it's cool.
I will say, shout out the writers for creating jobs. They're gonna just absolutely make a whole new section of therapy for these people.
Yeah, shout out to that. And
adding economy, making America better.
Although I saw something where before the weekend started, they said that there was a estimated 11 million people who were going to miss work today after Game of Thrones.
Just because they were mad at Game of Thrones?
Well, I mean, we got one right here.
Yeah.
We got one right here across from me. So I guess it happened. I don't know if they were just going to plan out to stay up late to, you know, have parties. I think a lot of people had, like, Game of Thrones parties.
That just turned into depression drinking.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Tennessee game.
So I mean, I think the idea was we're going to take Monday off to celebrate and kind of stay up late and all this stuff, but now it's turned into I don't want to get out of bed. Life is meaningless. Ah, man. It just completely ruined the show for me. This season didn't. And like I said, if you liked it, good. I don't want to make anybody change their mind. I was just disappointed. But Ben, if you ask if you think you should go through and watch it, I would say I'd watch it once.
Once?
I mean, if you could just blow through it over a 3-month period, like, I mean, I wouldn't try to carve out a month to, like, try to cram all of it in. I'd just take my time with it, but
I mean, I'm moving into my new place, like, at the end of this month. I was like, I'm going to have, like, basically my own space to do whatever I want. I'll probably just, whenever I get home, just sit down, start cranking out some Game of Thrones.
Spoiler alert, the kid who gets pushed out the window in episode 1, he's the one who gets the throne.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, he gets pushed out the window, and then next thing you know, boom, he's on the throne.
Wow.
It's a weird journey. I had a real problem, too, with Tyrion gassing up Jon Snow. Hey, man, you got to go do what's right. That's what a real leader does. That's what a real king does. You got to do what's right. Kill Daenerys. You have to. Do what's right. Does it. And then all of a sudden, Tyrion's like, yeah, Bran should be the king. Let's let Bran be the king.
And Jon's just like, what the hell did I just do that for?
No, he was just in prison growing his beard.
Oh, yeah, he was just down in the hole.
They made it, yeah,
did anything happen with him? Did he go north? Like,
what? Yeah, they basically sent him back to the Watch, which is supposed to be like a prison camp, basically, where you criminals, bastards, people of no place in the world, go to a place called Night's Watch, where they basically have to defend from the Army of the Dead, things like that, although the Army of the Dead's gone, so like there's nothing really to defend anymore. That's why I think it was really just a wink-wink deal, like, you go back to the North, and you don't really have to do anything.
Just
like,
handle your space up there.
Yeah, because like, they were leaving like the wall when the series ended. Like, they were just going back into the wild. A portion of the wall was destroyed, not all of it. I think it was the south side or the east side of the wall is where they came through. When the ice dragon or whatever knocked it down. I don't think he knocked down the whole wall, but he knocked down a good portion of it.
And there was something about a spoiler alert. I was looking at all the moments this morning,
uh-huh,
trying to catch up. So spoiler alert: there was that time when the dragon just burned the throne.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it was. I mean, it was supposed to be symbolic of the Iron Throne getting destroyed and. The dragon became woke and realized that the real...
This is the way to break the cycle.
Yeah, the real evil was this symbol of power that everyone was obsessed with, including his mother. You know, the mother of dragons, the woman, but his mother. But at the same time, he needed a clear space to fly out of. So I guess it made sense, at least, that he was blowing it down to
just
open
get out
up
of there.
Room to, yeah, to just fly away. But yeah, it was really heavy-handed symbolism of burning the throne. It's gone now.
There was like a lot of great, you know, picturesque moments. There was the spot where like the dragon is coming up behind Daenerys, and you can just see it looks like the wings are coming off of her. That was pretty cool. I think it was Daenerys. That's the dragon lady. I was really hoping they would discover some more dragon eggs or something.
No, just. Nothing.
As I know nothing about the whole series.
I didn't want anything to make me think, oh, wait, there's more to the story. Just no big cliffhanger at the end. Just end it.
So you don't want a spinoff of Arya, the West of Westeros?
No, just leave me alone. And their stupid little prequels they're all doing again, I'm not watching those until season 3. I'm not watching that live. They can go to hell. They can go right to hell. I will wait, and I will. If people tell me it's good, and enough people say it's good, I will wait until there are 3 seasons done, and then I will go back and catch up. I'm taking a break.
You get to learn about the Mad King.
Mad King can go to hell too. All of them can.
Life before Jon Snow just disappeared, or whatever happened to him.
Everyone can just shut up and go to hell from this show. Like I said. 4 years from now, when you get through with season 3, maybe I'll catch up. Maybe I won't. Let's go to break. Little NBA combine news. As we talked to you on Friday, Grant Williams had announced he was staying in the draft. Through the 5-on-5s, he didn't really stand out. Maybe there was a reason he was one of the only... If not, I think he was the only top 35 prospect that played in those 5-on-5s. There's just not much to gain from doing it, and Grant Williams kind of hurt himself. He went 0-for-7 in the 2 games from the NBA 3-point range. Like, he's showing, hey, I could shoot, try to do it in the game, went 0-for-7, and, you know, didn't really impress anyone with his shooting. Now, again, that's not the end of the world, and I hope that Grant Williams isn't punished for a bad 2 scrimmages with teammates he's unfamiliar with. But ESPN, I believe it's an ESPN Plus article, which shout out to me, them coming through with the extra, you know, making me feel like I'm really getting my value for the couple dollars I give them a month. But Grant Williams was listed as their biggest trender down. Like in the section of trending down, Grant Williams was the first person mentioned. He was mentioned alongside Dedrick Lawson, the power forward from Kansas, who, you know, transferred from Memphis.
Did he at least have any, like, good flashes in the paint? Did he use his body at all like he normally
does?
Yeah,
I mean, he still the worst part of his game was him shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's going to have to shoot threes in the NBA, so it's something I guess he wanted to show. Remember, we saw the video last week of him hitting threes.
Yeah, like 8 of 12 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. But in the game, I mean, he missed, and he went 0 for 7. I believe he went 2 for 13 for the entire weekend, just from the field. So, I mean, he didn't play well offensively. Now, again, I would hope that 2 scrimmages aren't enough to really cost him any money, but again, he is listed as someone who is on the wrong headed the wrong way coming out of the combine. Which I don't know if that's true. You know, obviously this is just an opinion from whoever the hell wrote this for ESPN. Obviously, Grant Williams talked to somebody on Thursday, even after his bad performance, that told him, yeah, you're good.
That said you are going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, because keep in mind, on Friday is when he said, hey, I'm staying in the draft.
Yeah.
So you would think that means that he talked to someone that said, hey, if you're there at 22, we'll take you. Or if you're there at 25, we'll take you. You're going to be a first-round pick. Surely enough people have told him, we like what you bring to the table. And, you know, I've been beating the drum for the last couple weeks that when he interviews with people and talks to GMs, talks to coaches, he's going to come across as
a basketball IQ genius.
Right. And as someone you want representing your franchise, someone you want putting out there for the first round pick, press conferences, someone that your fan base will like. Especially if you're in, you know, the back end of the first round and you're a good team and, you know, you can afford to take someone who you can immediately plug in and become a rotation player off the bench. Like, I don't know if Grant Williams is ever going to be a big-time starter, but I think a good team can use him in the rotation. And that's all you want if you're picking at the end of the first round, is just someone you could put in your 7 or 8 as you kind of let your bench guys go somewhere else to be overpaid. That's kind of the cycle when it comes to the NBA. They said even as he was struggling with his shot, Williams still made winning plays at both ends of the court, coming up with 4 steals. His effort level, quick feet for his size, and ability to pass out of the post limit the negative impact of a couple of below-average performances. Nonetheless, scouts who were already skeptical of Williams' ability to translate his game to the NBA at less than 6'6" and bare feet saw those concerns reinforced. Well, I remember seeing his measurements, and they were listing him as like 6'8", and I was like, wait a second, I didn't think he was that tall. But that was in shoes. Mm-hmm. So I guess his shoes added 2 inches, which does that matter? I mean, I feel like you should be 6'8 if you're going to be 6'8 on the basketball court.
Yeah, you're
going to
be playing in shoes. So you're going to be 6'8 on the court. You should be listed there.
It feels like that should be the measurement.
Yeah.
What you're going to be as you're standing on a basketball court. Which, I mean, maybe if that raises everyone 2 inches, it's a moot point. But still, talking about him in bare feet, like I missed the instances where people had to play longer than 10 seconds without a shoe on.
Yeah.
Kedrick Lawson, if you're interested. I mean, he actually showed some flash from three, but he just wasn't hitting anything in the paint. So Grant Williams listed as a player who is trending in the wrong direction. But his decision has been made. We will get Jordan Bone's decision on the 29th. We talked about had really good measurements, really explosive.
He started to show it in the second round of games.
Yeah, you saw the really nice up and under from him. Like, it reminded me back to his freshman and sophomore years. Like, if you go through my tweets, I have a couple of tweets talking about that's an NBA move from Jordan Bone. Mm-hmm. That's an NBA move from Jordan Bone. Jordan Bone has NBA quickness. Now, I don't feel like he ever became an NBA player while in college. But I do think the athleticism is there. And as someone who tested really well and, you know, quite frankly, in game two, played pretty well.
That one where he gets the fast break and then has the guy trailing him and he just drops it behind him for the dunk,
mm-hmm.
That was nice.
That one was nice. And like I said, he blew by one guy and then, you know, came to the rim defender and went up and under him for a reverse layup. That was also really nice. Like, he has NBA athleticism. I don't think anyone can question that.
He's just got to play with some grown men for a little while and get the pace of the game.
Well, he looks like a grown man out there. Like, he looked big for a point guard out there. Maybe to the point where that's why they were listing him as shooting guard, which I don't think fits him well at the next level. Like, I do think he's going to have to be a point guard, but he looked the part out there. He looked bigger than his competition. Now, granted, like I said, there was only one player in the top 35 out there playing, so I would hope that you would look bigger than the also-rans at the guard position, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Jordan Bone maybe should have looked better, and maybe that also helps Grant Williams look even worse when you realize, wait, you're doing this against a bunch of second-round undrafted picks. I found myself actually watching the combine on Saturday, and it was a replay from Friday that I didn't really realize was a replay at first. But they were getting Big Bol Bol out there to do the vertical jump. Or not Bol Bol, but Taco Fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting Big Taco out there to do the vertical jump, and it was the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it was from a previous jump or they were trying to see if he could reach a certain level, but they they knocked a lot of the pegs off and were like, here, jump, try to get this one. He jumped, missed it, landed, and immediately crumbled to the ground. Like, his knees, like, gave out on him, or, like, it was just that stiff where he couldn't handle a 2-foot jump in the air, because usually he doesn't have to jump that high when he dunks, I guess. But he crumbled straight to the ground, and I've never felt worse for a future good athlete. Like, where he's going to play professional ball somewhere, either in the NBA or overseas somewhere, but I just felt really, really sad for someone who was gifted slash cursed with a huge body. Like, I don't know if you look at it as a gift or a curse. Like, as he was getting his school paid for, he probably thought, oh, this is cool. As he gets older, he's probably like, damn it, my body aches, I'm in pain, this was a curse, why did I have to be 7'7"? But as he crumbled to the ground, I was just like, man, that's not really a life I would want to sign up for. I felt really bad for him.
I thought you were going to say, like, he just hit the ground and, like, tore an ACL or something. Like,
I mean, he might have tweaked something. I don't know. It was the most awkward jump I've ever seen, including, like, Kevin Ware coming down on that jump shot. Like, Kevin Ware breaking his leg, letting the bone go through his leg, was less awkward than Taco Fall just landing from a vertical standing jump, in my opinion.
Was there a commotion? Did people just, like, stop?
No, that was even worse. Like, he just got up and, like, wandered off. Like, it
and
was
everybody
the saddest,
just, like, stood there and, yeah, like watched.
It was the awkward thing. Like, if you don't address it, like, it didn't happen. Like, they didn't even laugh at him. Like, I feel like if they had laughed, like, that'd have been less sad if he could have laughed it off.
They just stared.
I think it was more of a, wow, this is really awkward and uncomfortable. Yeah. We're not going to say anything. And he just, like, got up and just put his head down and walked off.
Wow.
It made me feel really sad.
That's tough.
Now, I do think he'll get a chance to be an NBA player just because of how big he is, right? And if Boban is an NBA player, then,
is he,
like,
actually 7'7"?
Yeah.
Taco?
Yeah, I mean, measured at 7'7".
Holy hell.
Maybe it was 7'6", but, I mean, he's right there with wherever Sean Bradley was.
Yeah, I mean, if you're that big, I'd say any NBA team should be like, we'll take you.
I mean, Boban's in the NBA and in John Wick 3. Shout out to him. Had a good acting performance in John Wick 3. So I do think Taco will get a chance to play because of his size, but, man, I felt really bad for him in that size on Saturday as I was rewatching Friday's Combine. Hour one in the books. We'll let Parker, intern Parker, step to the mic and do headlines to kick off hour two. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.